And we're glad to see you all back again. I suppose I can say all back again. And if you're here for the first time, we're glad to see you too. Now, we'll continue tonight, as the Lord would help us, on this subject of prayer. I have been studying prayer and speaking on prayer, and I still feel I haven't touched the fringe of really learning what prayer is, but we try. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, not that we're going to try to expound the passage, but it is in keeping with some of the things we'd like to say, and it's by way of acknowledging God's precious word. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and reading verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because he of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If his son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And God will bless his word, I know, to all our hearts. Last night we were looking at prayer, and we asked a few questions by way of introducing the subject, and that one was, when should we pray? And we learned that we were to pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. And where should we pray? And we learned we were to pray everywhere. No certain place is set aside. As long as wherever we are, we can reach the throne of grace. And we mentioned that circumstances at times, or we may find ourselves in questionable places, and we wouldn't like, or we don't even think of, trying to reach the throne of grace at that time. Try and avoid that, dear saints. And then the question was asked, what should we pray about? And we learned that we were to pray about everything. And now, then we read a little bit about this prayer that's usually called the Lord's Prayer. And we pointed out that in this prayer, there's a beautiful pattern. Not that the words exactly used we should use, but the order of the prayer is delightful. In the first instance, the Lord uses 3 things in relation to God. Pray that way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then on the other hand, and give us, give us, give us. And I think that that's beautifully illustrated from the scriptures, and especially is there a portion in the word that has a direct bearing on it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I maintain, brethren and sisters, that if I give the Lord his portion and from my life, whether it's my time, whether it's my talent, whether it's my possessions, whether it's my money, whatever it may be, I believe he will certainly give to me. Over in the Old Testament, there's a nice little incident that we are all acquainted with. And it's the incident of Elijah. And you remember he found a widow woman, and she was gathering 2 sticks. And he seemed to be very ungentlemanly in the matter, for he told her to make a little cake. And he said, make a little cake for me first. That wasn't really gentlemanly, was it, Elijah? But you remember what had happened? She made him a little cake, and although she and her boy were at the point of starvation, she made the little cake and gave it to him. And when she looked in the barrel, the meal was there again. And then she scooped it up. Peter, go down to the sea, cast thy in the hook, and the fish that first cometh up, you'll find in his mouth a piece of money, that give for thee and me. No. That give for me and thee. Well, Lord, we wouldn't write an essay like that. We would write it the other way round. That give for thee and me. Yes, but says the Lord, I take precedence over English, our grammar. And so Peter said, I'll do that. And he did it. And when he took out the piece of money and says it for, why, there's enough here for both of us. So when he gave the Lord's portion, because he paid his temple tax, he had his own portion paid, his own tax paid as well. Again, beloved saints of God, in prayer, when we're praying, remember, put God first. And if we do, you can depend upon it. Your needs and mine will be met in the wisdom of God. Tonight we want to look at the precious thought that God does answer prayer. And I want you to think of the answers that he gives to prayer, although there'll be an introduction before we come to that. I question if we're going to get time tonight to get over into the conditions governing prayer. And if we don't, tomorrow night, if the Lord will, I'm to be in Bellevue, and I'd like, if we have it, to have to have it, we'll continue the subject in the Bellevue Chapel. Now, let me say this. God not only listens, but God answers. And God only, not only answers, but God answers correctly. Have you mothers ever had this experience? Your child is talking to you, and you're doing something, and you're not paying any attention, and all of a sudden the little one says, Mommy, you're not listening. That's familiar, isn't it? Mommy, do you hear me? Oh, yes, 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 yes. What did I say? Well, what did you say? You see, now, this is the case that when sometimes we as children speak to our parents, of course not when we get around my age, but I mean, you know, when the little ones talk, sometimes we're not listening. It's in one ear, not the other. It's over our head. We're paying no attention. It's not very important anyway. To the child, it is. So, Mommy, aren't you listening? Oh, yes, dear, I'm listening. Now, what do you want? And then you do listen. Now, God doesn't, you don't have to pull a lot of string. Didn't get him that time. We'll try another time. No, you don't have to play any tricks like that. That heaven's always open. That ear is always bending down. Because again and again, and I thought I would, I did decided I wouldn't take you over the scriptures that shows again and again, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. You have heard the name of George Mueller. George Mueller was a Prussian German, perhaps we might say simply, but he was a resident in England, in the city of Bristol, England. God saved him. He was a thief before God saved him. That's rather interesting. Just comes to me now to mention that to you. When his mother was dying, his father was kneeling by her bedside, committing her soul into the hand of her Father God. And while he was praying, do you know what George was doing? As a boy, he was rifling his mother's purse and stealing the money. That's George Mueller. God saved him. And when he died, he had handled $7.5 million in caring for the orphans, and he'd never asked a man for a penny. Were he living today and is earning money on that scale, it would be possibly closer to $100 million. And he never asked a man for a penny. And the motto of the home used to be, I don't know if it's there now, just three words, he will hear. He will hear. So, beloved saint of God, whether you get this impression or not, let me tell you, God is listening. Now he knows before you speak what you're going to say, but you must never confound that with your responsibility and your privilege it is to take it to the Lord in prayer. He is listening. Not only is he listening, but he will answer. And I enjoyed in studying it today, this little thought that I'm going to pass on to you. There are three reasons why he will answer. He'll answer for his own sake, he'll answer for your sake, and he'll answer for the sake of the man in the street. He'll answer for the sake of the sinner. That is, there are times. Let me show you what I mean. Nehemiah goes into the presence of God. Nehemiah's a captive. He's with the children of Israel. They're down in Babylon. And they belong to the Holy Land. And Nehemiah is burdened about it, about getting back to the Holy Land, the return of the exiles. And in chapter 1, when he prays, I'm giving it to you in my own phraseology, he says, as it were, reverently, Lord, you owe it to us. You owe it to your word. What did you tell Abraham? What did you tell Isaac? What did you tell Jacob? Oh God, that's your word. That's thy word. So answer my prayer and take us, Lord, out of the land of the heathen and put us back in the Holy Land for thy great name's sake. See, God has made promises. God has made promises. God has made statements, and we can boldly by faith enter into God's presence, not fleshly boldness, but boldness in the Holy Spirit, and say, O God, because thou hast said it, we believe that thou wilt answer. Then there is the reason, because he's, in a sense, God owes it to you and to me. Not that he owes it anything to you and me, but he has a great interest in it. And this is what I'd like to say, how it strengthens our faith. You place your faith in God. You pray to God about it, and God comes in, and God answers that prayer. And when God answers that prayer, what is the result? Beloved friend, you've got a fresh glimpse of him. You've got a fresh hold upon him. In future days, that memory will come back again. You remember how you prayed, and when you prayed, how God came in, and how God answered prayer. I was thinking of Eliezer. I was thinking of Elijah. And these men, as I studied them today, how their faith in God was strengthened because they believed they had a God who heard and answered prayer. And then we have to remember, too, there are times when we pray, and the unsaved understand there's something that they can't understand. They know there's something between you and your God that they're a stranger to, but they are strangely moved. Daniel prays. And as Daniel prays, he prays from the dungeon, the lion's den. And as he's praying, where's the king? Darius. Darius is trying to adjust himself to the terrible thing he decreed. And you see, his statesmen pulled a fast one on him. They came to him so piously. You know, Darius, let it be stated that no prayer shall be offered to any deity but to thyself for so many days. Sign that decree, will you, sir? Oh, yes, he signed that decree without thinking. They had their eye on Daniel, but Daniel prayed 3 times a day with his window open toward Jerusalem. And Daniel's praying, they're outside listening, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, off they rush to the king. Did you sign the decree that the man that prays to any deity but thyself shall be cast into the den of lions? I did. Not the lion's den, the lions could be gone. It's the den of lions, the lions are there. And so Daniel's cast into the den of lions. But poor Darius, he knew there was something about that statesman of his called Daniel wasn't about the others. And oh, he's so concerned about it. But Daniel's praying, and finally he can't stand it any longer. And he rushes down to the dungeon. Daniel, are you there? Yes, oh king, I'm here. Are you safe, Daniel? Yes, I'm safe. Darius, has your God been able to answer? Yes, my God has kept it. Get that man out. Get that man out. And then there's a decree made, no God shall be worshipped but the God of heaven. Oh, beloved saint of God, if you were in the platform tonight, you could tell something that I'm going to tell you now. Perhaps your neighbors, others have talked to you, and they've said, well, there's something about you, or I just don't understand some things concerning you. I was telling the friends at Burlington about a dear brother in our assembly in Hamilton, Canada. His mother died when she was 33 with cancer. And his 2 sisters reached the age one by one at that, and they died with cancer. And Jack reached the age, and he went to hospital for cancer operation too. I told the Christians that when Jack went to see the doctor suggested, quite kind of a casually, I think, Jack, we'd better take you to hospital, see what we can do down there. And when he left the house, he telephoned his wife, and he says, Irene, I don't know if you're going to tell him, but I haven't the heart to tell him. It's going to be very serious. And so, let's make a long story short, dear Jack did not die. Jack lived. The assembly met together one night for prayer. And oh, for 2 hours, the saints poured out their heart in behalf of our young brother, and God raised him up and gave him 7 years to us, and then he did take him home, but God answered prayer. Sometime after he had recovered, my wife went to see the doctor with our little girl, Grace. She was only a little girl at the time. And he said, "By the way, how's Jack getting along?" "Oh," she says, "Dr. Gibson, he's getting along just fine." "Oh," he said, "that fellow should be in his grave. That fellow should be in his grave." But she says, "Doctor, there's something you don't understand. In our assembly, we met one Friday night for prayer. We had a special prayer meeting for him. And I tell you, God has answered our prayer. You can say that again. For by all accounts, Jack should be in his grave." So you see, he's pledged his word. He'll honor our prayer. He'll answer because his own glory is at stake. And your strengthening of your faith is at stake. And a testimony before the world. Oh, beloved saints of God, may I encourage you to pray. Then I want to talk about the answers that he does give. And these answers are yes and no. Did you say no? I said no. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Now, when I say that, I'm going to break that up. And when he says yes, sometimes it's direct. When it's yes, sometimes it's not direct. It's delayed, but the answer comes. Sometimes he says no, and when he says no, sometimes it's different. And then sometimes it is a complete and perfect denial. Now then, sometimes he says yes, and it is direct. Eliezer again is in my mind. "Oh God," he says as he stood by the well, "I'm here to go to see, to find a girl, a maiden for my master's son. And as I stand by this well, O God, and the girls come to draw water, will it be that the damsel to whom I speak and ask for water for my camel, that she will say yes, and I'll get drink for all your camels? May it be that that will be the one that I'll be taking home to my master Isaac." And whilst he was speaking, the damsel drew near. Whilst he was speaking, the damsel drew near. Direct. God says, "Yes, Eliezer," and right away. Hannah was a woman in Israel. She had no baby. She was one of two wives. And the other woman had babies. And she was nasty about it. She made her know that she was barren. While she herself, Peninnah was her name, she was the fruitful one. Poor Hannah felt it. Scripture never says she retaliated. She never retorted. But she went into God's presence one day. "Oh God, give me a baby. Give me a baby boy. Give me a baby, oh God." And in 9 months' time, a baby was born. How do I know it was 9 months? You check me. The revolution of days came round. The baby was born. The answer was given right away. So you see, there are times when God says yes, and he says yes, and he says right away. But sometimes it's, what shall I say, it's delayed. Sometimes the answer comes, we say it right away, and sometimes it's delayed. Jesus arrives at Bethany. Mary and Martha says, "Lord, you didn't come. You didn't come when we sent for you." They didn't use it in those words, say it in those words, but they said, "If thou hadst been here, our brother had not died." I often say this when I'm speaking on that lovely chapter. I did hear a brother years ago say, what Mary said was different from what Martha said, but I can't really see it that way. Maybe that brother was right, and I'm not able to see it. But his dear brother said, and I think it's a lovely thought if he was right, but I say I can't say it's true. Martha went out to meet him, and she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You're to blame." That's the inference. Not Mary. She says, "Oh, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In other words, she says, "Lord, what a pity you weren't here." I can't see it that way. I just see the both of them said, "Lord, we sent for you, and you didn't come. when we sent for you. But he did come. He did come. And I can talk to those two sisters in my imagination tonight. And I can say, Mary and Martha, if we could put the clock back, which would you rather? That he came when you sent for him? Or would you that he waited 2 days, as we find that he did, and then he came? Which would you rather? And I think I hear them saying, oh, a thousand times, that he didn't come when we first sent for him. Can we ever forget it? There were two things. And I know what you're thinking, dear saint, because I'm sure you all know this story. The thrill of seeing Lazarus rise. Well, yes, that's one of them. But I think there's something sweeter than that. And what is it? When Jesus saw them weeping, he wept. I know what I would have done if the Lord had sent me. The Lord had said, David, go to Bethany. And you'll go out to the cemetery and they'll show you Lazarus' grave. Tell someone to roll back the stone. And when they roll back the stone, just say 3 words. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus will rise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shall I go now? Go right away. And I'd get there as fast as I could. And when I would arrive, where's Mary? And Martha would come out. I said, Martha, where's Mary? Oh, she's at home. Tell her we want Martha. I want Mary here too. Oh, I'm so glad you can wait a minute. Get Mary. Hurry up and get Mary. Now Mary comes. She's crying. Listen, Mary and Martha, you needn't cry. Stop your crying. Come on out to the cemetery. I'll show you something today. And I wouldn't have wept. I wouldn't have shed a tear. I wouldn't have shed a tear. I'm going to raise him. You think I would shed any tears when I'm going to the grave to raise him? No, not I. Ah, but not the Lord. He saw them weeping and he knows he's going to raise them, but he weeps too. We'll never see a tear. We'll never see a tear in those eyes. But we know the tear was there. He mingled his tears with them. This is the beautiful humanity of our precious Savior and God. He delayed, and when he delayed, oh, look at the blessing that came. It was said of Billy Bray, I don't know whether your American friends know about Billy Bray. God made one Billy Bray, and I think maybe that was enough. And maybe I shouldn't have said that, for I'd give you the wrong impression about dear little Billy. But he was a little man that used to say so much, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, until the minister got tired of it. Really, he did. Because he'd shout out in all the services. If the minister said anything that's good, or if he didn't say it, and Billy was thinking about it was good, but he'd let out. And so the minister tried to see if he could stop him. That's not what I really want to tell you, but I'll give you the character of this little man. He really was in familiar terms with God. And so the minister said to him once, he said, Billy, could you go through one Sunday, two services, and not shout out? Why would you ask me to do that? Well, he says, if you do it, if you promise me you'll do it, I'll give you a pair of blankets, new blankets, and a pair of boots, new boots. Oh, man, your money was scarce. Two new blankets, two new boots. I've often wondered, but I heard that little story, where the minister got the money from. But anyway, he said, just one Sunday, two meetings. Well, he says, yes, he says, I'll do it. And so he went to bed that Saturday night and wrapped the blankets around him, but he didn't sleep. He couldn't cry hallelujah, praise the Lord. Even at home, he felt he'd betrayed the Lord. He'd let him muzzle his mouth with a pair of blankets and new boots. But he had given his word. And he walked to the church, the little chapel as it was called in those days, and he walked up the aisle, and afterwards when he was walking up to take his seat, the boots were new, and in those days in the old country, that leather squeaked when it was new. I remember my old grandfather, when he'd get a new pair of boots, he'd put them in a bath, little tin bath of water at night, so that the squeak would be out for Sunday morning. And he didn't do that, apparently. And as he was going up, he thought one boot was squeaking, hallelujah, another boot was squeaking back, praise the Lord. Oh, he felt what a hypocrite. But he managed to get through that service, and he did not open his peeper. But at the evening service, there came a moment when he could stick it no longer, and he shouted out, "Glory to God and hallelujah, preacher, you can keep your boots and blankets." This was Billy Gray, Billy Bray. He loved the Lord. He was in good terms with him. And so he was one who was always trying to build little chapels. And one day he came across a big packing case that was going to be sold, made of wood, and it was going to be sold at an auction. And he knew there was enough lumber in that packing case for him to make a platform, a little pulpit, and make it cheap. So he went to the auction for it to be sold at the auction. And when he went to the auction, he had with him a piece of English money called a pound. And when the auctioneer put up the big empty box or crate for sale, he said, "How much am I offered for this box?" And Billy shouted, "A pound! A pound, sir, a pound. 1 pound am I offered, 1 pound am I offered, and he advances 1 pound, and he advances 1 pound. I am offered 1 pound, what advances have I in 1 pound?" And someone says, 25 shillings. And, No, he said, "Only 1 pound, 1 pound." And the auctioneer smiled at the simplicity of the wee man, and he sold it for double the money, I suppose it would be. Billy said, "The Lord certainly let me down. That would have been all I needed for the little pulpit." And so he stood by rather sadly by, and he saw the man who bought it loaded onto a cart. A buggy or a wagon, as we call it. And watched where he was going. Well, he's going my way anyway. And here he went Billy's way. And Billy followed him. And of all things, if he didn't come to where the little pulpit was, the man lived apparently very close to it. And he couldn't use it for what he thought he could. It wasn't suitable after all. I never learned why, but oh, he said, "I should have made the measurement before I bought the thing. There now, what will I do with it?" Billy says, "I'll give you a pound for it. A pound. Yes, if you take it to my wee chapel over there, you know, you deliver it there." He said to the man, "All right, pound, half a loaf's better than no loaf." And he took his pound, and Billy walked with the man as he drove over to the little chapel. Oh, he says, "Father always knows best. If I bought it for a pound, I'd have had to pay the carriage to get it here." And my father knew just exactly what to do. Oh, sometimes the answer is direct while I was speaking. And sometimes the answer is delayed. It's yes, but sometimes it's no. No. Just no. But it's just not no. It's no with a difference. Elijah, what do you want? Elijah says, "Oh God, after all my preaching, I haven't scratched the surface. Here's the nation, and I may as well never have preached a word. It's far better that I die, Lord. Let me die, no better than my fathers." And Elijah eventually went to heaven. Not that day. He went to heaven. He went to heaven in a whirlwind. And if I could bring Elijah down into our little meeting tonight, I would say to Elijah, "Elijah, tell me. God didn't answer your prayer the way you put. You did go to heaven, but not the way you wanted. You wanted to go by the way of a coffin. And how did you go?" He said, "I went by the way of a whirlwind with a chariot of fire." Oh, dear saints of God, let's keep in mind, he'll sometimes say no. But remember, if he does say no, look out. That answer eventually may be given in another way, and it may be different. But although he has said no, he is listening. The other case that I thought of as I studied my message today was Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You know, dear saints of God, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but you've tell me of anyone who's specially gifted among the saints of God in their service, and you'll find that saint has a thorn. God can't trust any of us. Paul was raptured in a vision to glory. And what he saw there made him write words that otherwise would be absolutely unexplainable. He says in Philippians chapter 1, to translate it for you, it's immaterial to me what happens, living or dying. Personally, I'd rather die. You'd rather die? Sure, I'd rather die with Christ. But if Christ doesn't want that, and he wants me to live, well then I live. It's up to him. But personally, I'd rather die. I want to be with Christ, which is very far better. Now, I'm not going to take the edge of dear Paul's devotion. I will not. But I think, Christian, will you let me say this to you? If I got a vision like that, if I was raptured to the glory, and I saw and heard what I believe he saw and heard, I'd say, oh, worldly pomp and glory, forget it. Forget it, forget it, forget it. And he had no domestic ties, sons of a wife and children. You know what it means. I spoke to a brother the other day, and I said, as we were talking about this, I said, brother, if you get cancer, and the Lord say, and you'd feel you're going home, you really won't mind that so much. The only thing, Brother Kirk, he said, is, I'd have to leave grace. Well, that's only human. Paul had no time. Well, Paul, how could Paul do that? The visions he saw. You see, he'd been stoned 14 years before that, and we believe that's when it happened. Now, this is how Paul talks. But, you see, God gave him something. We don't know what it was. And am I glad God didn't tell him? God didn't tell us? You see, I wouldn't get the blessing from it. For I may not have that thorn. Just a thorn. Now, I know what a thorn is. Incidentally, just yesterday, was it yesterday morning? Yeah, wasn't it yesterday morning? I was speaking to the dear ladies in here, somewhere around here. And after I was done talking to me, one of the ladies was talking to me, and I was working my finger up and down in your boards here. Like, oh, say, I got a little sliver in my finger. Oh, no blame to any of you, but that was a miserable thing. And you know, the first thing I did when I got home, I said to Mrs. James, have you got a needle, please? And I had to get that thing poked out. There's still a wee mark there. You know, you would all notice a thorn in the flesh. It bothers you. Well, some of it went, oh, Lord, take it away. No, says Paul, God, I won't take it away. I have to say no, Paul, but I'm going to do something. I want to tell you something different. I'm going to give you grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Do you know that there's not another verse in the Bible just like that one? Not another verse in the Bible just like that one. Oh, I believe if Paul were to come to the scene, I tell you, I know what Paul would say. Oh, a million times would I rather that he gave me the grace when I see the millions of saints that have thanked God for that text. My grace is sufficient for thee. I don't know how many of you, dear friends, remember old Brother McPherson. Maybe you never met him. I don't know if Henry ever was down in Kansas and saw Kansas City and Brother McPherson. When he was a young man, he was blinded in a quarry explosion. Both eyes were blown out. He never could get artificial eyes. Nothing but sockets were left. And his arms were blown off up to the elbows. Arms blown off and eyes blown out. And he lived for 50 years like that. 50 years. A sister in the East, in New York, said to me, if ever you get a chance to visit that brother, visit him. It will do you good. My, I'll bless that sister as long as I live. I did get to see him once. This sister said, when you get there, ask him to read his Bible for you. A sister in the Lord came into his life. There was no marriage. His wife left him. I didn't say that, did I? His wife left him. So there was no marriage for dear old Brother McPherson. She didn't have to have marriage. She loved him and she cared for him. Cared for him. And you draw your own conclusion what's involved in that for 50 years. And so when he got blinded, a little girl from one of the blind schools, the schools for the blind, It wasn't the general one that we speak of, their way of reading. It wasn't the Braille. It was another form of teaching. And this little girl, she wasn't very old, and she came day after day for 2 weeks, and she couldn't teach him a thing. Until the last day of the 2 weeks, Friday, and she said rather tiredly, "Oh, well, Mr. McPherson, let's try again." And she was trying to get him to pick out the letter, the vowel E. And she said, "What's that?" He said, "E." "Now read this and tell me when you come to the letter E." And there it is. "Right. I think it was 5 times. "Oh," she said, "thank God you've got it." What did he mean? He meant that he could read this language with his tongue. This is what I wanted to see, him reading. And so I said, "Mr. McPherson, I'd like to see you read your Bible for me." And so the dear sister in the Lord, she was well up in her 80s, she got the little easel set up and got the book set up, and he sat down before it and leaned over like this, with his tongue and his lips. Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints scattered. Oh dear, I tell you, the big tears rolled down my cheeks. My, oh my, reading with his tongue, no arms, no eyes. Brother McPherson, it's a long time since this happened, isn't it? Tell me, what has sustained you all these years? Oh, he was a Highlander. He came from the north of Scotland. And he had a broad accent. "Oh, Brother Kirk," he said, "I want to tell you the grace of God is sufficient." The answer is yes, right away delayed. The answer is no different. The answer sometimes is a complete denial. I was thinking today as I was studying, David had a baby. And God, David, you know how the baby came to, don't you? Sad story, isn't it? It must have broken David's heart. For David was not that type of a man. It wasn't a practice in David's life. It was an occasion. And buckets of tears must have flowed from that dear man's eyes. He was after God's own heart in spite of it. But God dealt with him. He says, "David, you'll restore fourfold. You'll restore fourfold." And David lost 4 sons. Way back in the Old Testament, God said when a trespass was made by the children of Israel, anyone, they were to give a trespass offering plus a fifth. A value was set, and 1/5 of that had to be paid. David had 20 sons, and 1/5 of 24, fourfold, and he lost 4 sons. The baby was one of them. And when that little baby was sick, and the Bible said it was very sick, and oh, how that must have broken David's heart. And knowing the graciousness and the goodness of his God, he says, "Oh God, let the baby live." "No," says God, "the baby died." Thank God that. Well, I wouldn't say thank God David sinned. Oh, no, I can't say that. Can I? No. But thank God God took care of David's sin and took that baby home. Why? Maybe there are some of you mothers in the meeting tonight. Maybe some of you fathers. And where's the little one that you love so well? Safe in the arms of Jesus. "He shall not come to me, but I shall go to him." It's the only verse of its kind in the Bible. God said no. Then there was Abraham. Abraham said, "Oh God, I'd like Ishmael to live. Sarah has no children, but if only Ishmael could live and be my heir." "No," says God. "Ishmael will not be your heir." "Oh, God, let him live." "No," says God, "I want to tell you something, Abraham. It's going to be..." Abraham, what do you think tonight? Oh, God knows best. Are you glad? He said, no. I'm glad 1,000 times he said no. There's several instances in this, beloved friend. I'm thinking now of the comfort of David. I thought of the comfort of David. And now I think of the blessing it must have been. Abraham, you're not getting Ishmael. You're going to get something better. Something better. Something better. And so, dear saint of God, if you're in fellowship with God, and it's not because of sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. No, you feel you're clear. You're humble about it. But you don't think there's a thing in your life, really, that you should put right. You're living humbly before him in his fear. And yet he said, no. Rest, beloved saint of God, one day, when the curtains roll back and you see God's plan, you'll find there was something better for you. And then there was James and John, and the mother of these two boys, they brought their son, she brought her son, her sons to the Lord, and she says, Lord, could I ask that my two sons will sit, one on the right hand and the other on my left in the kingdom? No. 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 Oh, dear saint of God, what a mercy God said no. Why? Well, you see, after that, the Lord Jesus Christ said something that's very important. The other disciples were angry at those two brethren. And the anger was expressed somewhat like this. I wonder who they think they are. Take the right hand or the left hand. I suppose Peter was saying, after all, I'm number one in the band, and if there's any seat that's the best seat, why shouldn't I have the best seat? Well, don't forget, Andrew might have said, Peter, I brought you to the Lord. There was a strife among them, which should be the greatest. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that will be great among you, let him be your servant, and he who will be chief among you, let him be your bond slave, even as, who? Me. Even as the Son of Man. What about him? He came not to be served. He came to serve. And when they reach the upper room, none of them will wash their feet. And there's a basin there. There's a pitcher of water there. There's a towel there. Put the three of them together. What have you got? Washed feet. Nobody's going to do it. Nobody owns that room among that those 12 men. I don't know who owns the room, but they're not responsible for anything that's there. They're there. The accoutrements are there. They're there. Where to wash your feet before you eat. It's the Passover. Who's going to wash our feet? Don't ask me, says Peter. Don't ask me, says John. I lean in his breast. Don't ask me, says James. I'm your twin. Don't ask me, says Andrew. Again, I say, I brought you to Christ. Don't ask me. The Lord laid aside his garments. He took a towel. He did it. And that's when dear Peter, and I love him for it, he makes up his mind. The others will let him wash, do it. I'll not let him do it in me. At least there are that decency about me. Lord, you're going to wash my feet? You'll never wash my feet. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us the lesson. All this springs from James and John's request to sit in the right hand and the left hand. Thank God Jesus said no, it will be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Have the beloved saints covered it. These are the thoughts I've had in my mind as I study today. Thank God he does answer prayer. And it's yes. Oftentimes it's yes. And it's direct. Oftentimes it's delayed. Sometimes he says no, because it's different. And sometimes it's a pure and perfect denial. But he doeth all things well. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, we close the meeting. Commend ourselves to thee. Oh, we thank thee we're thine. The dearest object Christ has in this world tonight is not its millions. It's not its property. Greatest possession the Lord Jesus Christ has in this world, it's we. We are his. Bought with his precious, precious blood. Our Father, we thank thee for having these two nights with the dear saints here in Southwest. Thank thee again, Lord, as we've done, we're going to say 1,000,000 times, but likely we'd be exaggerating. But times without number, we thank thee that thou hast permitted us to handle divine things. We thank Thee not only, Lord, for this permission, but we thank Thee for an appetite that the dear saints have for Thy Word and for the things of God. Oh, it's true, Lord, we turn time and again to the trifling things of time and sense. And sometimes, Lord, there might be no difference between us and our neighbors, but oh, in the final analysis, we know deep within our heart we're pilgrims bound for glory. We're pilgrims going home, and we don't belong to this poor old drunken world staggering to its eternal doom. Oh, God, no. And so we thank Thee for these occasions when we can feed on the manna. Think of these things in Thy precious Word that have such a bearing on our life down here. And again, we commend us to Thee tonight. Now bless us as we separate. Maybe some of the dear saints we'll not see again for a while. Maybe not till we all meet at the throne. But we do thank Thee for the prospect one day of meeting to part no more. So then we would pray, keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys in heaven. Bless the testimony here. Thank Thee, Lord, for any little association. We think of that coffee hour. And again, we thank Thee for those dear sisters and our brother who so faithfully serve Thee. God bless their labors. Thou hast done this. Increase it. And feed the assembly, Lord, with newborn souls. Bless in the Sunday school. Bless, Lord, in their prayer meeting. Bless in their testimony, both outside and inside. And let each saint know that perhaps the greatest joy of his life and the glory will be the contribution he made to Christ's assembly here under this roof. Part us with Thy blessing. Receive again our thanks, we pray, in His precious name. Amen.